Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another week of Blog Talk. Talk That Talk with Sweetie and LJ on this
What's going on, people?
Sunday afternoon or whatever. Yeah, today is Sunday. A lot of interesting stuff. As I say, the same thing probably every week. We saw some pretty good interesting things happen over this past 6 days since the last time we did the podcast. Something interesting I saw on TV last night outside of the subject that we really probably going to get into today. You see Roy Jones got knocked out?
Nah, I didn't see that.
Man, what? Roy Jones got slept. I mean, yeah, he hit that old school fall like a sack of potatoes. He got knocked. 46 years old. First of all, why the hell is Roy Jones becoming a Russian citizen at 46? But I guess that's neither here nor there. Anyways, he got knocked out, you know. Well, I don't know who sang that song that Love TKO. I think it's one of them first.
Was
I think
you
need
fight?
To let it go.
Was this a street
yeah.
fight or was he in a ring?
No, no, no. It was a boxing. But Roy Jones out there in these streets still boxing. I ain't even know that.
Man, come on. Come on, man.
Yeah. Man, they laid it, they laid him out like your outfit before you go to the prom. I mean, smooth. Clean. Knocked him out. He dropped it. Yeah, it's pretty bad. But Roy Jones, I think it's time for you to hang it up, son. I think you need to call it quits. Go on about your business. And just let your legacy stand for itself. Because ever since you got knocked out by Glenn Johnson, you've been out here in these streets looking pretty bad. Anyways.
But it's going pretty bad, too.
Anyway, moving on into more important stuff. Well, actually, not even last night. Well, yeah, last night was the Heisman Trophy weekend. Excuse me, Heisman Trophy presentation. I guess over this last couple of days, Friday and Saturday night was kind of like the big college awards that went out, Maxwell Award, Belinda Clough Award, so on and so forth. Of course, if you're paying attention, on Friday night, Derrick Henry won the Doak Walker Award, which goes to the best running back. He won, I believe it's the Maxwell Award, and he won one other award, which escapes me at the moment. But the most important one, or I shouldn't say most important one, the most recognizable award that he won over the weekend was the Heisman Trophy. And he beat out Christian McCaffrey and Deshaun Watson, the quarterback from Clemson. He beat them two this weekend, and that was actually the order they finished in. Obviously, Henry won the award. McCaffrey came in second, and Watson finished third. Now, I know I don't recall off the top of my head who you picked to win the Heisman. I've been saying for probably the last 3 or 4 weeks that I thought Henry was going to win. Not saying that I know everything, but as close to knowing everything as possible. Do you think the committee got it right?
I guess normally you would say Heisman is equivalent to the MVP. So if they consider him the best player on the best team, so be it. But, I mean, I personally think whether they got it right or wrong, they might have snubbed somebody, and I think that would be Navy's quarterback. I think he should have been in there. But other than that, I can't really argue with who they gave it to. So I guess you can say they got it right in that aspect.
I think I would have to disagree. I don't think the Heisman is an award that goes to the best player on the best team. I think it goes to, you know, not always, but the player who had the best individual team season on. I wouldn't even call it the best team. I would call it one of the best teams. Because I don't think you always have to. I don't think you always have to have the best team in order to – you have to be on the best team to win Heisman because if you win by rankings, Clemson is obviously undefeated and they, in theory, have the best team right now. So, you know, their quarterback is probably the best player on their team. But, I mean, like I said, I've been saying for a few weeks that Derrick Henry was going to win. I was scrolling through my timeline on Twitter last night. I saw a couple of interesting questions out there that were hanging out there from fans to some well-known people in the sports media. Do you think that Christian McCaffrey playing at Stanford, not the school itself, but basically by him playing on the West Coast, do you think that hampered his chances at winning the Heisman due to the fact that Stanford normally, I mean, if they're going to play on TV, Stanford's not going to play on TV until 9, 10 o'clock. Well, I'm thinking on the East Coast. That's, you know, if they play at 9 o'clock, if that's a 9 o'clock Central game, that means game on the East Coast not starting until 10, after 10 o'clock. Do you think that had an effect on the voting?
A lot of media outlets that you even gave Heisman votes to. That's a whole other conversation of its own. But no, it shouldn't be anymore. I don't think it's a big subject anymore because of the situation. You have too many ways to keep up with players no matter where they play.
I think the one thing that affected McCaffrey more than anything is he didn't have what you would consider a Heisman moment, at least not that I saw. Now, I can't say that I saw him play a lot. I even saw him play more than a few snaps because I live on the East Coast. The game comes on too late. I'm not staying up that late. I did see him play some, though, but I think he did not have a Heisman moment, whether it was a big game where he just absolutely – I mean, he played – don't get me wrong, he had great stats. He broke Barry Sanders' all-purpose yardage record for a season. But I think that's what was missing from him was, like, you know, you could say, oh, you know, he returned kicks, he returned punts, but, you know, that one signature moment, and I think that signature moments tend to win the Heisman more than, like, if you got two guys who had – same season statistically, but one guy had what you would consider a signature moment or something like that. I think that tends to push guys over the top and give them the Heisman. But nonetheless, it'll be interesting Heisman race coming up next year. I'm actually looking forward to it. I would disagree with you about the whole Navy quarterback thing. I just didn't see the big deal. I know people say, you know, he should have been invited, and I personally think, not that his play on the field probably wasn't great, but I think that the big fuss about him was more because he goes to school at the Navy than it was that he deserves to actually be there. Because you can argue that Baker Mayfield had an outstanding season. And his team is in the college football playoffs. Well, but, you know, I mean, historically, you're not going to get more than, like, four guys there. Well, I mean, you know,
for the time they did five. And if they would have done five, even though they said the dude from Navy finished it, I'm guessing number four would have, I don't know if it had to be, but in my opinion, number four would have been Baker Mayfield. So,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's more about the fact that he played for Navy, which I got it. You know, he's going to go on and be an officer in the military, you know, after his career is done in the Navy if he doesn't make it in the NFL. I mean, that's beside the point. It's not a patriotism award. This is about your play on the field. So I would think that if there was an argument for a fourth player to be there, it should have been Baker Mayfield as opposed to the quarterback from Navy. But moving on into being a pastor in life, NBA season is in full swing. We're about a quarter of the way through. Unfortunately for Golden State, their 24-game win streak came to an end last night. They were just short of they did set the record for most games at the beginning of a season for a team won a championship, and they were going last night for it. They had an opportunity to be the first team to go undefeated on a seven-game road trip and win, but, you know, they didn't. So they lost last night. I saw the end of the game the prior night against Boston, and I kind of figured they'd lose in Milwaukee, not because of Milwaukee or anything like that, but that game against Boston was very hard fought, and they just kind of, I don't think because of pressure or anything like that. To me, they just looked pretty exhausted at the end of that game against Boston. And but you know, win streak's over. The thing that I wanted to discuss today on the podcast was whether or not you think the run is over for the Thunder. One other point very quickly, the Atlanta Hawks had the best record in the Eastern Conference last year. And right now they're in ninth. Well, I guess they're tied for 8-14-11. But anyways, do you think the run is over for the Thunder? Do you think that window has closed? Right now they sit at 15-8, which would still tie them for the fourth best record in the NBA. I guess they're sort of tied with the Bulls. The Bulls play a few games. Do you think that window has closed, or do you still think that they are a legitimate, like not legitimate as in anybody could win, but a legitimate, they can beat the Warriors, Spurs, Cavs, or whatever to win the NBA championship?
As long as you have a healthy Kevin Durant and a healthy Russell Westbrook, yes, I do feel like you're a viable contender to beat anybody in the NBA. And I don't mean just because anybody can win on any given night. I really do truly mean that they would be better than the majority of a lot of other teams in the NBA. The problem is, you got to keep Kevin Durant healthy. Right? I mean, he get hurt every 2 months. I mean, and then when he sits out, he sits out. It's not like he's missing a game or two. He's missing weeks and months at a time. That hurts because Russell Westbrook ain't the dude that's going to carry a team to a championship, although he has great skill. I mean, as far as athleticism, but the health issues, but do I think the window is closed? Nah. Is it closing? Yes. Because I think solely you will have both Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook up for the free agency, and my circle is this go around, you don't keep both of them.
I would have to disagree with you a little bit about the whole Durant thing. I mean, I think if my memory serves me correctly, I think this is Durant's eighth year in the NBA. I could be wrong. But prior to him getting hurt last year, he had pretty much played every game in his career. I mean, yeah, he got hurt once. He got hurt last year, and he hurt his hamstring this year. But other than that, he's been healthy. I don't know that the window has closed all the way. I still think they have an opportunity to win the championship. I just don't necessarily think they can beat the Warriors. I do think that they can put a very interesting lineup out there to win, because they got Russ. They can put, I mean, in theory, they could play Kevin Durant at the five, you know, if they had to match up against the Warriors in the playoffs and go against that small ball lineup. But I do think they could throw a decent small ball lineup out there and match up with the Warriors. The thing is that, you know, I don't think they're as good defensively as the Warriors, and I don't think their offensive continuity is as good as the Warriors. And, you know, while I love Russell Westbrook, I mean, he's an amazing player, I still think that his downfall as a player will be that sometimes he is, if you will, too aggressive.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's kind of counterintuitive to a guy who... my issue with Russell Westbrook players, I think that he at times his shot selection to me is still not very good. I think there's still too many times where he just comes down and, you know, he's kind of, I wouldn't call it necessarily 1-on-4, but, you know, he just comes down and boom, he fires up a 15-footer or 18-footer. I don't think Russell Westbrook is a good enough shooter to consistently do that, but, you know, he does that. And to me, that's the that's the issue. But that is one of, and I personally think that this situation with the Thunder is will always forever be like that first year when I don't say the first year, but kind of like the first month and a half, 2 months when when LeBron went to Miami, where they had to establish a clear pecking order. Until Oklahoma City establishes a clear pecking order where it is clear that either Russell Westbrook is the best player on their team and that's their go-to guy, or Kevin Durant is, I don't think they're going to win the championship. That's just my opinion. I think you have to have a clear top guy and not a one. You can still have 1A, 1B, but somebody's got to be A. It just can't be one and listed in alphabetical order. But,
Kevin Durant is 1A?
Do I? I would, if I had to pick, if I had to take one of them over the other, I would take Kevin Durant. Because I think what Kevin Durant does.
That one said, you don't think that the pick order has been established that he is 1A, or you think that
the front office may know. The front office may know. But it doesn't matter what somebody – what matters is how they play on the court. To me,
right.
They still play like a 1A – or not – they still play like a two headliners. Two-headliner act, whereas – you know, it's just like when you have a bunch of great rappers or a bunch of superstar rappers out there. Somebody got to be the headliner. Somebody has to be the person, you know, the last act or the finale. Somebody's got to be that person, you know, or however, whatever is the most important act. Somebody's got to be that person. And I think that until – if Oklahoma City never clearly says this guy is the number one guy – I don't think they're going to win a championship. They may make it to the finals, but I don't think they're going to win a championship. But NBA is in full swing. We'll see what happens as we go along through the rest of the season. By the way, the New Orleans Pelicans are like way beyond underachieving. They're almost as bad as the Los Angeles Lakers. I guess maybe so much for so many people. All these fun people out there who are saying that Anthony Davis is the second best player in the NBA last year. He was better than Durant. But, you know, early in the season. Moving on to the NFL. The NFL's gotten off to an interesting start so far this Sunday. Possibly a season-changing injury out in Cincinnati. Andy Dalton went out with a thumb injury. From what I'm seeing on the internet and reports, he's got it in a cast, or at least the picture I'm looking at right now. It's for sure wrapped up, and it's on his throwing hand, so probably not something that he can play through. Their top tight end, Tyler Eifert, is also gone out with a concussion. He's on a concussion protocol. Two things, hopefully, that we can cover in the next 10 minutes. One being DeMarco Murray. We're both Cowboys fans. Now,
right.
I would say DeMarco Murray underachieving has probably been
an understatement,
you know, as far as how bad he's played in Philadelphia. He wasn't the starting running back last week, from my understanding. The game is not on TV, and I'm not watching.
He's going to be the fourth string running back this week.
Right. He's not starting or whatever. Ryan Matthews is going to get more playing time, and I believe Darren Sproles is a starter.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. When DeMarco Murray was a free agent after this past season, I did not think he was as good as people made him out to be. Do you think Philadelphia regrets signing him? Two, do you think they will either cut him or trade him following this season?
I said one aspect. No, I don't think Philadelphia regrets signing that as their biggest division competition. Made their running game kind of dips. And as far as the production you want to get out of a star running back, of course they do. I'm pretty sure they wish they could redo numbers right now, and they probably understand why the Cowboys wouldn't go up as high as they would, but at the same time, his fit and Chip Kelly's offense is horrible. I mean, he doesn't fit that offense at all, because DeMarco Murray is a north-south runner, and that is more of an east-west shifty running back, and DeMarco Murray ain't never been that, ever. So he misses the Cowboys just as much as the Cowboys miss him, and, yeah, Philly regrets it for the most part.
I don't think the Cowboys necessarily miss him. And I say that because for the money that he was asking, I don't think he changes the Cowboys season this year. I mean, I mean without Tony Romo, he may account for another win or two. But I don't, you know, if you look at a lot of those games, it's not like the Cowboys have been getting destroyed.
I guess my thing is, like you said, if he accounts for a win or two, think about what that would do for them in the NFC East this year.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think it really would have mattered, because I don't – even if DeMarco Murray is still on the Cowboys and Romo is still injured and Dez Bryant goes out, I still don't think the Cowboys – I still think the Cowboys are in a similar position to what they are now. I don't think that with what has gone on with the Cowboys, if you have DeMarco Murray, your season changes that much, because he's not – I've never thought he was – an Adrian Peterson type, or, you know, an elite level type running back. I mean, you know, that's kind of been my opinion of him. So I don't think he would have changed the Cowboys season that much. And clearly he hasn't had much of an impact on the Eagles season. The interesting thing to me about this whole thing is you've seen all this stuff in the media, and I've heard over and over how he's not a good fit for the Eagles offense, then why sign him in the first place? That's the crazy part to me.
Well, like I said, the only thing I can see the Eagles signing him for in the first place is to get him away from the Cowboys. That's the only thing I can think of.
That's it.
Yeah, but I think stuff like that is overrated, because it doesn't benefit you to pay a one player so much money to come and sit on your bench. Say again?
Is that not what he's doing? They're paying the top notch. Top notch money to ride the bench.
He's doing that, but I don't think that was the intent. Because if you go back to the beginning of the season,
well, you know,
that
of course, maybe not
intent.
Because he is coming off an 18-yard season. Maybe that ain't the intent, but that's why you sign another free agent running back right behind him in Ryan Matthews. Because what if this don't work? Because like you said, you played against him for, in Chip Kelly's case, what, 2 years now? So that's, what, 4 games against him at least? You know he's not an East-West running back. You know that. But I guess you figure he's 18 yards. He's 1,800 yards good in the NFL, so he might be able to fit any system. But I'm going to take this other running back that's a little bit quicker, a little bit shiftier, at a cheaper price, just in case. Like, you don't usually get an Adrian Peterson and then go and sign a Chris Johnson.
I don't think that's the case, though, because I don't
well, maybe that maybe talent level
I think from most people I don't think that there were a lot of people who thought that DeMarco Murray was an elite level running back. I think fans thought that. But if you look at the interest level, it wasn't like teams were beating down DeMarco Murray's door. If we go by media reports this past season, it wasn't like teams were beating down his door.
I think it was just the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Jaguars. As far as that kind of money, I think it was just the Jaguars and the Eagles. And I agree with you on that. But
I think most teams realize that DeMarco Murray was not the top tier running back like a Marshawn Lynch, who I guess is injured right now, or an Adrian Peterson, or that level. So I would disagree that, you know, thinking that, you know, oh, you know, if we get DeMarco Murray, he's an elite level running back, but we signed this other guy.
That's what you paid him as. You paid him as my thing is with a salary cap, you're right. You don't usually pay, I'm thinking as far as pay-wise, you don't even usually drop out like that. And you talking about he might not be as good. You don't usually do that and go and get another running back. Like, if you drop out that kind of money on that position, you are thinking in your mind that we are set. But yet, in the same week, if not the next day, you sign another running back.
That's what I'm saying. I don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't agree with your premise that, you know, that they thought he was this elite level running back, and then they signed, you know, I think they thought he was very good. He would do well in their system. And then it, you know, and Ryan Matthews would do well in their system as well. But, I mean,
I figured they gave him that much money to get him away from the Cowboys. Now, do I think that they wanted to sit him down? No. But I do think they upped the ante for that position to get him away from their division rival. Yeah. And now, did they think that they was going to work a whole lot better than what it is? I'm hoping they did. But if you don't think somebody is that elite, why do you pay him that kind of money?
That's not what you're saying. You're saying two different things.
Yes, it is. I'm saying they paid him.
You're telling me what I'm saying. Okay, well, this is what I'm hearing. You keep saying, you think they paid him that much money just to get away from the Cowboys. Then at the same time, you're saying, why pay him that money if you don't think
I'm telling you why they paid him that money. I'm telling you why they paid him that money. You saying that they didn't think that nobody else really thought he was that elite. That is a fact. I'm saying the reason why they gave him elite money running back was to get him away from that team, because on that team, on the Cowboys, he was elite because he fit our system perfectly.
He had one elite season.
But he had a 1,200-yard and a 1,300-yard season too. And they ain't like
not elite.
He ain't never
average.
Had a fifth. That's not average. Who else is giving you 1,300 yards per season?
Justin Forsett. Not an elite
running back. He's not giving you 1,300 a season either.
He had 1,300 yards last season.
What did you have here before
that?
He had
over 12. Let me find DeMarco Murray. You just wait.
He rushed for 1,000 yards twice. Out of the 4 years he was here. And last year was an 1,800-yard receiver. I said, in this offense, yes. Last year, he was elite in this offense.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So, yes. To me, in my opinion, one season does not make you an elite running back. You have to do it multiple seasons. That's my opinion, though. And I don't think
I think like Philadelphia didn't want to find out if he was that elite in this system. So let's get him now. Let's get him because he's a free agent. We got the money. They don't. Boom. Let's get him away from now.
I think the Cowboys had the money. The Cowboys just didn't want to pay him because he wasn't that good. In my opinion, salary cap wise, teams don't spend money on people that level of money that's going to have that big of a hindrance on your salary cap just to take him from your division rival. Especially
so
not
you think that they really thought he was an elite running back?
I believe so. I don't think they did
because if you think somebody is that elite, why get another person at that position?
It's the same reason why you have multiple players in any other position. Plus, DeMarco Murray has a history of being injured.
Because in one free agency, you don't go and sign a big-time player and then go and sign another big-time player. It's the same position that's going to take away carries. Because the reason why you signed him is because you're going to ride that horse.
No.
Is that not a fact?
That is not a fact.
Oh,
because
okay.
Nobody
so you,
else
you
in the NFL
has
close to as many carries as DeMarco Murray last year.
And then they're going to go and get another running back?
Name anybody in the NFL who has had even close to DeMarco Murray the amount of carries he had last year over the last few seasons. Nobody, because the NFL teams don't do that.
You're
going to
pay him that to ride him.
Bad system. No,
they got another back already. Yeah, they get more shine than him. They got two backs that get more shine than him now.
Okay,
two.
Chip Kelly's system was never built on that. Even LeSean McCoy, who is way better than DeMarco Murray, didn't get those kind of carries last year. So I don't think the premise is clear. Oh, we run out of time. Oh, we got to cut it short. That's the end of the show.
All right, have a good weekend, people.
All right. We out. Peace. Man, I think he's...